United Health Group is looking for customer service representatives to make a difference from the comfort of home, all supported by industry-leading benefits. Make a difference daily while building your future. Visit careers.uhg.com or click the banner to apply.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
On today's episode, episode number 136, entitled 5 Steps to Taking Charge of Your Health Today, I chat with Dr. Partha Nandi. Dr. Partha Nandi is the creator and host of the medical lifestyle television show called Ask Dr. Nandi. He's a practicing physician and an international speaker. And in today's episode, Dr. Partha talks about the 5 steps you can take right now to improve your health and become your own health hero. In this fantastic interview, we cover everything from the mind to nutrition to exercise and much, much more. If you're wondering what you can do today to take control of your health, check out this episode now. You are going to absolutely love it. Here's a quick reminder. Our Elite Life Nutrition supplements are finally available. Go to EliteLifeNutrition.com right now to get your hands on the best magnesium citrate in the world. Magnesium is one of the most important minerals you can consume, and it is critical in over 300 cellular processes. It's also estimated that 80% of the population is deficient in this critical nutrient, so it only makes sense to supplement with it. Sleep support, stress support, muscle function, energy production, and brain health have all been linked to optimum magnesium intake, and with Elite Life Nutrition, we cut out all the additives, all the fillers, and all the junk and leave you with only the exact amount of nutrition you need. Also, make sure you sign up for our newsletter at EliteLifeNutrition.com/newsletter to get special discounts and deals not available anywhere else. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is Dr. Partha Nandi. Dr. Partha, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Hey, Justin, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, I'm really excited, man, to have you on. I did some research on you and checked out some of the episodes on your show. You have a show that I believe a television show that goes all around the U.S. Is that right?
Yeah, in the U.S., we cover 95 million homes, and outside the U.S., we have 120 more. So we cover the whole planet, about 215 million households. It's I think you like it.
Wow, man, that's pretty cool. How long have you been doing the show for, and how'd you get on that?
You know, I'll tell you, we've been doing the show for about 3 to 4 years. My dad, the story about it is my dad had a stroke about 9 years ago. And when he had a stroke, I really understood what it's like to be on the other side, to be a caregiver. And I thought I was a good doc. I'd been practicing for a while. I thought I was a good doc. And I really empathized with people. You know, I thought I did a good job. But when I started to take care of him and I saw the other side, I really realized how little I knew about being a patient. So I wanted people to learn some of the techniques that I learned and not have a catastrophic situation like my dad having this horrible stroke. So, you know, I talked to a producer that I knew from Los Angeles, and we did a show, started in one city, in, you know, one city, Detroit, my city, in one station, and then we grew to where we are now, 95 million homes in the U.S. and 215 million homes in outside. So it's the same message about being your own health hero, to be your own health advocate, to make your health and your wellness really your number one priority, not how many cars or homes you have and all that kind of stuff, but really about making your health your priority. And that's what a health hero is. And that's what the book is all about. Simple steps really to make your life a priority and make your life the best it can be.
Cool, man. So what is your background specifically in medicine? And I know the show is kind of like a holistic sort of Dr. Oz type approach where you go like the natural route, right, as opposed to like traditional medicine.
Well, you know, it's a little bit like that. You know, I'm an internist and gastroenterologist, so I do a lot of Western medicine. But you may know from your research that I was actually born in India and I came when I was 9. So I had a background of Eastern medicine. So what I really talk about in my practice, you know, when I see patients in my practice, is Eastern medicine and how it meets Western medicine. And the show is really about that. We have straight shows like how to take care of lung cancer and straight medical shows, that is, to take care of lung cancer, how to treat diabetes. We also have shows where we incorporate a lot of holistic and natural methods. So I try to give people the best of both worlds. If you have hepatitis C, I don't tell you to stop taking your medications and just go meditate. What I say is take your medications, and then the meditation will actually help you to decrease some of the side effects, and perhaps you need less medications. That's my approach, is take the best from the East and best from the West.
Cool. I like it. And so, yeah, I mean, today we want to focus primarily on the book you just came out with, Ask Dr. Nandi, 5 Steps to Becoming Your Own Health Hero. And there's some pretty cool steps in here. So if it's cool with you, man, I want to sort of run through the 5 steps we have. And then if there's any like follow ups with that, we'll kind of dive into some specifics that. But so what's the first step, I guess, to, you know, becoming your own health hero?
You know, I'll start by saying to you that the number one, the most important step to me is really having purpose in your life. So, you know, I was lucky enough that, you know, when my dad had the stroke, I really realized what I needed to do, right? So I had purpose in my life. And what happens when you're purposeful, and you're the same way, you know, you just, when you know what you want to do and you have that purpose, everything else really follows. To me, it's the why. When you have the why, everything else follows. So studies have shown, and people ask me, you know, why is a doctor talking about purpose? You know, why is an MD talking about purpose? The reason why is now we have evidence, Justin, that if you have purpose, real purpose in your life, you can increase your lifespan, your longevity by 7 years. Amazing. Wow. Better than most medications out there, you know, and no side effects from having purpose. You also can decrease the rates of dementia by 53%, multiple studies. Decrease your heart disease, high blood pressure. So the idea is that, you know, you don't have to have a purpose like you're going to change the entire planet overnight. It doesn't have to be that huge. It can be just small things you do throughout the day that's purposeful. And one of the exercises I tell my patients to do is, you know, let's say you have a board, board that you can draw on, put it in your kitchen, your bathroom, wherever you want to be. And on the left-hand side, put the things in the day that you do that are actually purposeful, that have meaning. On the right, you put down stuff that's really meaningless. And then as you do that every day, guess what happens? You figure out what you need to cut out in your life. You and I both know there are things we do that really, you know, you think, I could spend my time a little better. And when you do that, the reason why medically that you can actually live a better life and live a healthier life is because people who have purpose have less unrest. You know, they're not wandering around aimlessly like a kind of a leaf in fall, kind of going wherever the wind takes it. And that reduces the unrest in your body. That reduces the stress in your body. And there's something called a fight or flight phenomena, which is what's kept us alive. A good friend of mine, Rick Hansen, he's out of California, and he says humanity, right, over time, we've survived because we wanted to do what? We wanted to eat lunch and not be lunch, because we're always trying to either, you know, get food and not become food. That whole spirit, that whole response and that instinct is ingrained in us. It's hardwired. And so when you have unrest in your body, when you're not settled, that fight or flight phenomena comes in a microscopic level. And when that happens, your blood pressure is increased. There's more inflammation in your body, and that can lead to problems. So having something as simple as having purpose can really define you. To me, that's the first and most important step in achieving, you know, really good health and well-being. I think it's really crucial.
Mm-hmm. So is this like a day-to-day practice, like something you're doing every single day is writing down things that have meaning in your life and avoiding those things that doesn't have meaning or is kind of pulling you away, causing you stress?
You know, Yeah, absolutely. You know, you got it. But there's even more than that. In the book, I really give the how. I give how do you go about really getting that purpose? You know, not just in writing them down is just one method. There are multiple ways. Workbooks we give you and worksheets to say it takes a long time. It takes weeks, sometimes even months, to get that idea. What do you want to do? That's a tough question, because sometimes you're kind of backed into a corner. You have a family and you can't get out, and your job may not be what you want. And so when I say you can't get out of your job or your responsibilities, right? And you, there's things you want to do. But even within that, you can find, what you can do, small activities throughout the day that give you meaning. Whatever it is that you want to do, if you want to be, the best, street basketball player, if you want to be the best student or the best teacher, you just find activities. And what that does is gives you meaning in your life, and it gives you your body then physiologically, meaning that, all the responses are favorable to help you live a better life. And now it's not just somebody talking about it and saying it's common sense. There's actually science that proves it. And that's what's amazing. That's why I want to write about it. And, there are many, many cultures that do this, when they have people that show that they have meaning in their lives, and they live to well over 100, and not just lives to over 100 in a nursing home getting in a feeding tube, but really with their grandchildren and their community. So that's what I think the potential is, and it's amazing.
Yeah, so does that go like hand in hand with connecting with other people, like community and stuff? Because I hear there are like a lot of studies coming out recently that feeling like you're isolated, or the loneliness feeling, that contributes has a major contribution to reduced lifespan. So is that like a big part of the whole purpose thing?
Yeah, you got it. No, you're absolutely right about the studies, Justin. You hit the nail right on the head. It's called tribe. We call it the tribe phenomenon in our book. And what that means is that, human beings, we survived and thrived because of the fact that we live in communities, right? We did things together. So when you have social isolation, like we have a lot in our society, one of the biggest crises we have, that's why we have so much suicide and so much, for example, depression. We really, I think everybody really are proud of being independent, but almost at a fault, right? Where we want to do everything by ourselves. So what I talk about is, listen, when you do any activity, whether it's try to follow a nutrition plan or an exercise plan or whatever you want to do in your life, when you do it with people that are supportive, not just yes people or people that are haters, we're talking about people that are supportive, right? That tell you, I'm not sure that this is the best route, but I'll support you. I'll help you do whatever you want. When you have those communities come together, guess what? You are successful anywhere from 40 to 60% more than you would if you were by yourself. And that's your health as well. So if you are doing anything you can to sustain increased activity, increased habits of healthy living, when you do it in a tribe, so much better. And so that's the idea behind the second step that we can talk about, which is your tribe. Again, you can look all around the world where people actually, the Okinawans actually hang around with five people throughout their lives. And what those five people do is support them through good and bad times. And what that does, again, it goes back to the fight or flight phenomenon. It goes back to the stress, that inner angst that you have. When you have people supporting you, things are much more stable. You're not always at unrest. You feel grounded. And that plays amazing, amazing, amazing effects in your body. Your all your hormones, your up hormones, the cortisol level goes down. Your ACTH goes down. Those are the physiological responses that happen when you have a supportive tribe. You're absolutely right. So you have purpose, and then you have the tribe that can support you to achieve the things that you want to do, small or big. And that's a huge effect that a lot of health heroes can do. And I describe ways in which you can have tribes. You don't always have to have blood relatives in your tribes. People think tribe means just your family, your biological family. But it could be, listen, you go to work, you spend a lot of time with your work. That could be your work family. If you have athletic activities or intramural activities, it could be those. It could even be online. There's a great community called the Royal Society, beroyal.com, and they're an awesome online community that really supports themselves. So the concept of tribe and community is super important. It's getting more important every day in a society like ours, where social isolation is such a crisis, at such a crisis level.
Yeah, I think a lot of the things you're saying makes a ton of sense. And, you know, thinking back to our ancient ancestors hundreds of thousands of years ago, they all had, like you said, these little tribes or groups of five people or whatever, and that's how they lived. But it was all they were always surrounded by physical contact, other people, other human beings to connect with, to socialize, to communicate. Everybody's online today. And as much as it's great to have, you know, Facebook friends and Instagram buddies, that social connection, that interaction is lacking. And I think it's causing a lot of health problems in the long run. I didn't know this was your second step, by the way. I just the whole tribe thing is a real profound thing in my community. I actually have an online community as well, the Elite Man Mastermind, where we connect every day and, you know, do that kind of stuff. But yeah, it makes a lot of sense, man, that this would be one of the steps, because having a tribe, a community of people is such a huge part, I think, of your health.
You're right on. I think you're absolutely right.
Dr. Partha, what is the third step?
So, you know, this is not in the order. You know, I think that the big thing, first of all, is that having purpose gets you the why. And then, to me, a natural consequence is, you know, the action that you have, the most important action that you have that you do with your hand, which is what you do with your fork, from the plate to your mouth, right? So, you know, if you put a bunch of crap in your body, it's going to do the same thing back to you. You're going to have a bunch of crap back. So what I like to say is that the one of the most important steps beyond purpose is mindful eating. So by that, I mean, you know, you're sitting there watching a game. It's easy to just go through a bag of crap, you know, chips or whatever it is. It's mindless, right? The thing is, nobody stops and thinks, hey, you know what do I really need to eat? Right. So why am I eating this and what do I need to do? And if you can just start practicing small steps, you can really make a big impact. And again, it doesn't mean it has to be some prolific thing. It can start with small steps every day, and then eventually it becomes habit. And what I also talk about when I talk about the Health Hero Nutrition Plan is that it's not one that's of deprivation, right? So it's not a diet plan. So I really think diet should be taken away as a word. In fact, I think Webster should use it as a word for failure, because everybody who's in a diet has failed, because it's you know, you're supposed to do this potion, this, all this kind of crap that nobody can really follow. But instead, what we talk about is have a healthy nutrition plan. And we talk about foods that really can nourish you. And you don't have to – it's not hard. You find foods that are really helpful, and we do that. An entire chapter is devoted to finding the foods, finding the vegetables, the fruits, the legumes, the beans, the meats that you can have that are healthy, as well as fish and poultry. We talk about easy recipes, less than 30 minutes to make. But we also say, listen, you know what? You're going to have a work party where it's going to be a bunch of crap and you have to eat it and you shouldn't stress about it. So I call it the 80-20 rule, you know, that you can do. I also have a rule where you eat until you're 2/3 full. There are ways you can actually go about life, and it doesn't have to be an entire process of torture and still maintain a healthy weight. You know, it's really not about showing off your six pack. If that's what you want, that's great. But it's really about sustaining a healthy life so you can spend time with, you know, people that you love and be happy. The amount of stress that some people have about what they eat, you know, there's some people that just are on it all the time, which is great, but the amount of stress that they have and the cortisol that's released and all the stress hormones are detrimental to your life. So the nutrition plan that I have is simple, and we show you really how to do it step by step. We give you meal plans in the book, and I think people really benefit from that, because we're at a crisis for nutrition. You know, we have probably the wealthiest country in the world, but, you know, all the parameters of our health and what we eat is unbelievable. And also the processed foods, you know, if we can just show you. One thing I tell my patients, Justin, is that if you have a processed food, you know, that comes out of a bag and it has stuff that has 15 syllables that you can't pronounce and it goes into your intestine, never in the history of humanity have you seen anything like it. So your body doesn't even know what to do with it. So if you're someone, for example, who has a disease – like Crohn's disease or some other ailment, some other problem that's a disease state, and you see these artificial ingredients, your intestine, it doesn't know how to handle it, can attack it, increase the inflammation, and worsen disease states. I tell people, if you can just eat whole foods that you can prepare, whole foods that take less than 30 minutes to do, and try to avoid anything in a bag or a can, you're really halfway there. So we really give you the what is what I'm telling you now, but we give you the how. How do you actually manage that to do it every day and still live a nice, you know, normal life and not one of deprivation? So that's what I think an important step is, what you do with nutrition.
Obviously, that's a huge part of the health plan, and we talk about nutrition a lot on the show. What do you typically recommend, though, as far as like portion sizes and how often people eat? How many meals, like, throughout the day?
I think here's the thing. You know, I don't try to make rules like you should eat six times a day or eight times a day. I think that if you could eat, if all you could do is eat 3 to 4 times a day, but you have to watch how much you eat, and your body will tell you. What that means is that you don't go and buffet style and eat until you're completely full, like you've been taught so for so long. You eat until you're about 2/3 full. That always does the trick, meaning that, you know, many cultures often talk about you eat until your body is not completely is satiated. So you're not talking about eating until you're full. About 2/3 full is all you really need. If you do that, then what happens? You can meet all your dietary goals. It's not so much, you know, you can't eat that or eat too much of this. Obviously, you don't want to eat, you know, a lot of saturated fat. You don't want to eat foods that are filled with preservatives and are processed. However, you can eat just about anything you want. The key is that by the time your brain figures out that you're full, it's a little too late. So you have to kind of judge for yourself that, you know, you have to eat until you're not completely full. That's the key. I don't tell people to follow any formulas, because what happens is that eventually that fails. That'll work for about 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. But what about the next 30 years? So you have to give them a plan that they can actually feel like it's effective. So that's what we do in the book. We give a plan to teach you how to do that and train your body over time, and give recipes that give you the amount that you need, right, to really live a healthy life with a healthy weight. Not always what Instagram tells you, you know, or Snapchat records, or some concocted, you know, picture of somebody. It's really about talking about, you know, a healthy weight. And that might not be what society is showing to be the most popular, but it's what studies show that increased your health, your longevity, and disease-free state.
Yeah, I like it. And I'm curious. I got to check I actually have a copy of the book, so I haven't started it yet, but I'm going to. And I want to see exactly what the approach is for making sure you can stop at about 2/3 to being full. Because when you have that, you know, chicken parm in front of you, man, sometimes you want to just keep going because it's so good. But like you're saying, it's one of the harder things to do to stop.
And you can do that, Justin. The thing is that just don't do the chicken parm every day. That's the key. You can do it. Absolutely. You can have a little fun with your food, and you can do it. What I, you know, 80% of the time, do everything you can to do as well as your body needs it. But 20% of the time, you've got to have a little bit of fun with it, right? And so that's also a key part of our plan. If you can do 80% of the time what we're talking about, you're still better than 95% of the population, and you're doing really well. The problem is that, you know, if you people don't do it even 10% of the time, if you have the chicken parm every single day or the fast food, you know, and you give me a supersize and give me the, you know, the double fries and everything else, well, that doesn't work. But that's what people live every day. If you're doing it once a week, it's all right. It's not going to hurt you. But it's when it becomes every day and with multiple meals, that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah, totally, man. I agree. What's the fourth? I think fourth step we're on now.
Yeah, we're talking about movement, right? So you have to not just be able to eat appropriately, but also purposeful movement. And so people mistake purposeful movement with always being in the gym. So where I practice, there's this mega gym next to me, and I have this hobby that I love. Is I call it vulture watching. And so what that means is I watch you know, in the parking lot, these cars that kind of circle around and around and around to find what? The closest parking space to the entrance of the gym, because it really isn't time to exercise yet. I am not going to take one extra step than what I'm supposed to, because I only work out in the gym. So these people circle around, and if somebody could actually carry them from their car into the gym in their treadmill or whatever they're doing, they would be happy. Well, that's not purposeful movement. People think that they go to the gym 3 times a week and that's it. Then they sit on their couch all day, you know, and do nothing. That'll suffice. It doesn't. So the reason why it's important is because every study shows that purposeful movement, movement that you can incorporate into your day. So what I mean by that is, if you're stuck in a cubicle, right, stand-up desks. Well, we have desks that are standing. Some people haven't have moving desks. You know, they have desks where they can actually do some movement and actually, you know, move their body a little bit. Gardening, walking, doing things around the house instead of just vegging out and doing nothing. Those are the steps that really increase your longevity. For the short term, doing, you know, all this, you know, whatever it is, extreme fitness that happens, that'll give you some results that you can see visibly. But the long run, what I'm interested in is the long game. What do you have to do in the long game? So what we do is we find activities and exercises that you can do that really you can incorporate in your life without having to say, okay, you know, I'm dead tired, or it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I gotta go to the gym. I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. Totally with you. But most people don't do that. So how do we then incorporate movement into your life? You know, simple things, right? Take the stairs instead of the elevator, and, you know, pick hobbies and that actually can lead to your movement in your body and increase your cardiovascular fitness. What that does, every study will show that is what decreases your heart disease rates. That's what decreases your rates of stroke. That's what increases your longevity. That's what the Dandy Movement Plan is. And we talk about, for people of any level, people who are in wheelchairs that cannot move, you know, outside of that, and they can only do things in their chair, we give them exercise. We give people who are, you know, fitness experts, we give them, you know, tips as well. So at any stage of your fitness level, we give you the ability to be able to move. And I'll tell you, if most of America and the Western world did this, man, we'd have so much decreased disease states. And that's what excites me, is that, you know, everything in this book, it's simple stuff, small steps that can lead to huge results. And it's, again, it's not anything that anybody will say, well, this is going to be hard. It's not that. It's that you have to do it consistently. It's exactly what we talked about, is that, you know, the chicken parm, if you don't do that every day and consistently do things that are healthier, you'll do better. If you consistently do activities that are purposeful, you'll do better. If you do consistent activities and purposeful movement, you're going to do better. And the research and the science backs it up. And that's what we talk about in the book, how you can do those. It's great talking about, like we are, like, you know, the what. But in the book, I'll talk about the how and how you can make that work in your life every day.
What's the science behind that? I mean, I've heard, like, the sedentary lifestyle, sitting is like the new smoking. It's kind of the new thing they keep saying. Is that true? And what is, like, actually going on when you're sitting as opposed to moving around in the body?
That's a great question, Justin. So they do say sitting is the next smoking, right? Sitting around doing nothing. The reason why is, when you sit around, the blood is not moving anywhere, right? Your cardiovascular fitness, we call it in medicine, where the blood is not being pumped anywhere. The moment you stand up, the big muscles in your legs have to pump the blood to the rest of your body. And when it does that, it changes the tone of the blood vessels in your entire body. So when that happens, you then have better cardiovascular fitness. Your heart's pumping a little bit more. It's working harder, not just sitting there like a flabby muscle getting less and less efficient, right? So you increase your efficiency, increase blood flow, helps you not only with your physical health, but also your mental health. We now know that rates of dementia, rates of mental illness are reduced because of that, because you're actually getting blood flow to the brain instead of just pulling out, doing nothing. That's why, you know, we say sitting is the new smoking, because when you're sitting down, it's like what smoking does, right? Changes all your blood vessels, increases blood plaques, and increases your risk of getting all those problems. So absolutely, if you're in a cubicle and you can stand up 3 to 4 times an hour, that's going to do wonders for your health. That alone is going to help you tremendously.
Cool. Love it, man. And Dr. Partha, what is the final step we have here?
Yeah. And so when you do all these things, you know, it's important also to cultivate your mind. So my final step is cultivating the mind of the healthier. What I mean by that is, you know, are you a sports fan at all, Justin?
Yeah, I love sports.
Have you heard about some guy named Michael Jordan? Ever heard of him?
I think so, yeah.
Michael, right, back in the day was best. He's, you know, considered the best player in basketball. He came in the league and was a superstar. He was a scoring champion, scored multiple points. And then, you know, Phil Jackson, his coach, came along and said, you know, Michael, I need you to learn some techniques and learn some ideas about spirituality and mindfulness. Very resistant. He's like, you know, what does that have to do with basketball, right? And so rejected for a while, but then didn't win a championship, came back. And then he said, okay, let me take a look and see what this is all about. Six championships later, it's one of the most prolific things he did was learn meditation, spirituality. Mm-hmm. And turn the clock forward, another guy named Kobe Bryant, 19 years old, came in the league, prolific star. And they said, you know, in his inaugural year, they said, you know, this is something that I think would benefit you, Kobe, which is they got a mindfulness expert, someone in spirituality, and people were, you know, sitting cross-legged. He said, what is this all about? Again, rejected it. Didn't win that year. Came back the next year. And, he's won five championships. And he comes back, and if you talk to him now in retirement, one of the key things he talks about that he attributes to his success is having mindfulness and spirituality. What mindfulness, spirituality, prayer, yoga, Tai Chi, when it does, it really helps your mind decrease the noise. And you and I know life, you know, wherever you are, is so busy. There's so many things you can do and think, and it really can distract you. What spirituality does, it helps you get out of that, meaning that it helps you understand that there's more than just what's within you, right? So whether you're taking a walk in the garden or a beach, or if you're doing Tai Chi, or if you're doing mindfulness meditation, what it does, it helps you quiet the mind. It doesn't mean you have to go up the top of a mountain, cross-legged, saying om for hours. Not it. You just have to go to a place where it's quiet and comfortable for you and just start off. When I say it to people who are beginners, just concentrate on your breath. Concentrate on your breath. It doesn't mean that you have to be an expert at breath concentration. What happens is that when you concentrate on your breath, guess what you're not concentrating on? What your boss said, or what makes you mad about whatever your buddy says, your girlfriend or your wife or your husband. It helps you to be able to get that mind to be able to concentrate a little bit on something besides all of its problems. Again, and I go back to that same reflex, your fight or flight phenomena response decreases when you have mindfulness, when you have meditation, when you have prayer, whatever you want. And that reduces down the stress hormones, reduces your cortisol, reduces your ACTH, and does amazing things. We did we did a mobile meditation unit, Detroit Police Department. You know, we went as part of my I do the Hub News on the ABC affiliate in Detroit. We went there, and it was amazing the effects on the police officers. It was amazing how quickly the effects were, and within minutes. And so what I ask people in this step is that think about a way to incorporate spirituality. Studies have shown that you can reduce your medications for blood pressure. You can reduce the incidence of stroke, increase longevity. That's amazing. Listen, if meditation was a drug, it would be the best-selling drug ever with no side effects, right? I mean, you know, you can reduce the number of pills you take, increase the effectiveness of your health. That, to me, is amazing. And here's the key, Justin. When you take all of these individual steps and put them together, you are a force to be dealt with, because all of these, when you take them individually, they're amazing. When you put them together, I mean, you are a beast. That's really taking in charge of their health. That's why I call it being your own health hero. To me, it's like you're a superhero. My favorite superhero is Batman, and I like him because Batman really doesn't really have any superpowers. I mean, listen, you take away his fancy belt, his suit, and his dinged up car. What does he have? Nothing, right? I mean, Batman's just like vulnerable, just like you are. But when he uses all of his tools, everything in his arsenal, here's a mere mortal that becomes an amazing superhero. That's what I want from my community, my health heroes, to take all of the tools that they can. When put together, amazing, amazing arsenal makes them into what I call the superheroes. I call them health heroes, and that's what it's all about. And I think that we want to make a planet of health heroes, not just started, you know, we started with our family or community of city of Detroit, now our television show. We want to make a planet of health heroes that can really take away disease. We're at a crossroads where it seems like we're at a crisis. It's really time for people to take the health in their own hands. So that's what a health hero means. And I'm excited to spread that word everywhere.
Nice, man. I love that you added in the mindfulness aspect and, you know, things like meditation and all that stuff. I'm just, the more I look into that, the more I've been kind of dabbling with it over the last few months, the more I really love it. I've actually used it as well a few times for insomnia help and just kind of quieting, because I have a very analytical mind as well. Sometimes I'll be up, you know, just thinking about things and thinking about work the next day. And using meditation has really helped me personally to relax my mind, you know, different times and quiet down the noise, like you say. And yeah, as it turns out, man, Batman as well is my favorite superhero. I love it, man. he's great. Not, you know, doesn't have all the skills like some of the other guys, Superman and some of the other guys do, but I think he's the smartest and he puts it all together the That's best, which is why I like him. Dr. Partha, thanks again, man, for coming on the show. Before we go, is there a last send-off message you'd like to leave our audience and then a place that our listeners can check out your upcoming book?
Absolutely. You know, I'll tell you, they can check out our book. They just go to the website askdrnandi.com. So askdrnandi.com/hero, and they can get the book. And I think they'll really get a lot out of it. And all I ask of your listeners, the same thing I tell my patients, just give me 5 minutes, 5 minutes of each of the five pillars, less than a half an hour a day. And I promise you, it will change your life. I've seen it happen thousands of times. 5 minutes on each of the five pillars, and the book describes how you do it. It will change your life, I promise you.
Awesome, man. Yeah, we're going to add the link to get the book in the show notes. And, guys, check it out. I can't wait to dive into it myself. Dr. Partha, thanks again for coming on, man. Really do appreciate it, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dustin. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
As always, if you haven't joined the Elite Man Mastermind group on Facebook yet, do yourself a big favor and get on that right now. Connect with thousands of guys just like you who are looking to improve themselves every single day. This is the best Facebook group on the planet, totally free, and this is going to push you, motivate you, inspire you, give you tips, advice, and strategies for helping you master the biggest challenges in your life. EliteManMastermind.com will take you right to the group on Facebook where you can join. It's a closed group, which means it might take a couple minutes, a couple hours for you to get accepted in by one of the moderators or myself, but I promise you, we will get you in if you're not a spammer and you don't have a creepy profile. So go to EliteManMastermind.com if you haven't yet. Join the group. You're going to absolutely love this and join a collection of thousands of amazing guys just like you who are looking to improve themselves and help you out along the way.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast interviews with all of our incredible world-class guests from the lifestyle, health, fitness, business, and social worlds absolutely free. Subscribe now, guys, if you haven't already, and enjoy all future episodes. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an awesome review. We really do appreciate it.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.